Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number chapter 14, verse 15. Thank you, brother. I have to blame some of that on me because I didn't even think about it till just now. I should have looked for it earlier. John chapter number 14 takes us back to this series we've been kind of doing. The scripture in verse number 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Amen.
So in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments," makes us think about, or made me think about, his commandments.
Amen.
And we don't keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. We don't keep the law to be saved. We don't keep his commandments to be saved. We keep his commandments to follow in his steps.
Yes, sir.
To walk as his example. An example is, and to be a follower of him, because we are his disciples. If you got saved, you're his disciple.
Amen.
If you backslid way back, you're just a backslidden disciple.
Yeah.
And you need to front slide. Amen. Get back where you need to go.
Amen.
These some of these commandments, we're not looking at every one of them, but we've looked at several, and takes us to the book of Matthew now, if you'll turn with me there. Matthew chapter number 5. We looked at some pretty rough areas last Sunday night. Excuse me, get my brains all scattered here. And challenged us on forgiveness and things such as that. And all of this kind of peaked and culminated in my mind to look at this next in Matthew 5, verse 16. Now, the Bible talks about salt and light. And salt has all these different qualities, as he mentions this in these previous verses. But he doesn't say anything about let your salt so be salty. But it's implied.
Yeah.
Be the salt. If salt's unfit and no good, it's to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men.
Right.
And that means they'd take dead or salt that was diluted or salt that had lost its power. They would just throw it out on the trails like gravel or sawdust or something like that. He'd use it for footpaths.
Right.
Christians, should not be trodden under the foot of men.
Right.
We need to be paths that show the way.
Right.
And saltiness draws people. Amen. Makes them thirsty.
Amen.
Salt makes people thirsty. Salt in your eye makes you irritated. But if you get that irritation taken care of, amen, then you figure out what to do with the salt by sticking it in your eye. But in this verse here, verse 16, he says, which connects together with the salt and the light, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There's so much problem with people getting the waters muddied by thinking that they need to do good works so they can glorify themselves. And you can see it in people. When they do them, they look for approval from man.
You're right.
Right? I had a years ago, this man's passed away now, and I don't even pastor that church. So that church is even closed. They closed it, sold it, and gave it to a psychiatrist, a Christian psychiatrist or something. Not my fault. Maybe it is my fault. They'll probably blame it on me somehow. But anyhow, I remember having a man in the church. He had some money in his hand for a special offering, and he gave, and as he come up, he looked up at me and put it in the pan. And I first thing that came to my mind, that was his reward.
Yep, that's right.
From me.
Exactly right.
Do you want a reward from me? You don't want a reward from me. You want one from God.
That's right.
So don't let your left hand, I'm getting in, I ain't even going to play, come on, go here. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing is in the scripture as well. Amen. Just give it unto the Lord. Don't try to please man. Glorify God in what you do. But the light is so important in this life concerning our fruit and our light, our shining and winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to draw them. Amen. The scripture tells us here to let our light so shine. A little bit of light and a lot of bit of darkness can really go a long way. So you can't say that you don't matter. It does matter. You that have just gotten saved recently, you need to let your light shine. If you're saved, you don't have to make it shine. It will shine.
Amen.
You can put it under a bushel. You can cover it up. You can hide it. You can try to gear it down. But if you'll do what God's done in your life, you will let it out and let it so shine.
Amen.
And your family will see that. Brother Daniel brought up a lot of good points about that. His family saw something different in him. But if you pray a prayer and say you got saved and there's been no difference, then something's not right. But if you are truly saved, the light of the glorious gospel, the marvelous light, as Jesus is the light of the world, has entered into your light. So let it shine. Let that light shine that they may see your good works. Are we doing good works? Not good works, Brother Donnie, to be saved, but good works because we are saved. And it's to glorify our Father which is in heaven. So that's kind of a theme of the whole message that we're looking at. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is going to be one of my sub-themes or whatever it might be. Amen. Because this is going to take a little bit in itself. I want you to turn to Matthew 25. Just fast forward over there. You won't get too far away. Matthew 25, pick up there, and we'll give you the verse in just a minute. I want to read this verse out of Daniel. Sometimes it amazes me how much an Old Testament scripture sounds like something in the New Testament. You know what makes it do that? I believe it's Jesus. I believe it's the Spirit of God that does that. Listen to this verse. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's Daniel 12, verse 3. That's a powerful verse.
Yes. Amen.
And thinking about, we'll read that again, but the Bible does say in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Amen.
And he that winneth souls is wise. Those verses go together. Those parts go together.
Amen.
Daniel 12:3 again. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Fruit doesn't shine, but it does draw.
Yeah.
It gets attention. Amen?
Amen.
It's trying to compel people. It's showing there's something different in the way. This way of walking for the Lord. And then it says, as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Turning people to righteousness is connected to letting your light shine. It's connected to you being the salt that God called you and I to be. There is enough hypocrites in this world. And there's enough reasons and excuses for people to go to hell that are a mile long. But listen, we need to desire not to be one of those on that list. Not be a stumbling block to get in the way. Now, we've been looking at the book of Jude on Wednesday nights, and we'll be getting into this Wednesday night, talking about compassion making a difference. And then though some will try to pull them from the very fire of hell. Some will just have to be reached and try to grab them out. They're so close to going to hell. And some, though, we can have compassion on them, and that can make a difference. Believers are here. If God was done with you and I, He would have took you to heaven already.
Right.
We'd be just. What purpose do we have? It'd be no use. Would He just leave us for gravel, footpath, trodden salt? No. He wants us to be what He's created us to be. In Matthew 25, verse 34, the scriptures gives us, as we call this, the Mount of Olivet, the Olivet Discourse, as He's doing that discourse, a message in Matthew 25. He says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He shall sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Light and darkness is different. Dead salt and living salt is different.
Amen.
Sheep and goats are different. Biblically now, there may not be a ton of difference in your farm if you've got a farm with goats and sheep, but there are differences.
Yes, sir.
Goats just like to knock you over and they butt all the time. But this preacher, y'all catch that? Okay, anyhow. He's going to separate that in judgment. He's also teaching us in the Word of God that it ought to be separate now.
Yes, sir.
Amen. As Jesus has changed our life, there needs to be a difference now, because one day when we stand before God in our own judgment seat of Christ for what we've done for the Lord, we're also, I believe, going to be part of that great white throne judgment. We'll probably witness it to some degree. And if you ever know anything about court and legality and trials and evidence, would you like to be part of the evidence of why somebody went to hell? Because you were more like a goat and less like a sheep supposed to be. You were more like dead salt or no light. I didn't even know they went to church. What are you talking? God, you mean they worked with me and never, never, no light? We're going to stand before God with that. Now listen to this story, because he talks about the king. He mentions verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then he says this stuff. Listen to this. Now this is Jesus talking, his discourse, his preaching, his message. And it's to be understood that he's kind of speaking like this is judgment and he's the king. And he says this, "For I was hungered and hungered." We use the phrase, "I was hungry." He says, "I was hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee?" Don't you appreciate the Lord kind of abbreviated that with us for a little bit? He didn't repeat it all every word. He just summed it up real quick. "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, as much as you did it not to the one of least of these, you did it not unto me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." There is a definite distinction between truth and lie, sheep and goats, light and darkness. Here, he's comparing those who did it unto him and those who did it not unto him. Now, when we do something unto him, unto his glory, unto his character, unto his personality, unto his commandment, because he said, do this, 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 and this, so we do it unto him. Amen?
Amen.
If you get the attitude that you're doing things unto him, it'll change the whole way you live your life. You won't feel like you're grinding every second against some kind of grinding wheel. You'll feel like you are letting your light shine, that you are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We do represent him. Amen?
That's right.
Look at that thought. When I was hungered, you gave me meat. Have you ever given anybody anything like that?
Come on.
Have you ever done anything like that? You know, I'm not trying to attack you, but you know, we got a pretty giving church. There's a lot of people get involved, but not everybody does. Why is it that you don't do that unto him? Is it revealing that you're not saved? That you have no desire to do any good works? That the commandments in the Bible and the things that Christ laid out, you just consider them, oh, that's just a suggestion, or that's not for me, or I'm not into that kind of stuff. If you're saved and in Christ, you should be into his commandments. You should want to walk for him and serve him and live for him. And things like somebody being thirsty and you give him drink, or a stranger and you took me in, and he said, I'm not taking in no crazy stranger. Listen, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace.
That's right.
Understand the context of the time. The stranger might be traveling or somebody needed some help. We're going to get into a very powerful story of the Good Samaritan. It'll take it to a whole nother level.
Amen.
But you took me in. Some of you have taken in people that hardly even were family. Maybe they were somewhat strangers to you. Or you took them in to some degree or some level. You took them into your life, took them into your care, and you did some things for them outside of what your normal comfort zone should be. You know why you kind of did that? Maybe you don't even know why you were compelled to do that. Because you're saved. You're a believer.
Amen.
And the nature of Christ lives in you. And think about how much he sacrificed and all he did in this world. It just kind of leaks out sometimes. If you say, I want to get really close to the Lord. I want to get in his word. I want to let his spirit lead me. You're going to start following him.
Yeah.
And you're going to start acting like him more.
Right.
You're going to have his nature start being revealed to you. Conforming to his image and less like your own image. Amen.
Right.
And I'm not talking about wearing Jesus sandals. I'm talking about the inner image of who he is. Amen. And those that did it not unto him, he made it pretty plain. When you didn't do it, you didn't do it unto me. So how many opportunities did we miss to do it unto the Lord? And he put it, and we're going to stand before the Lord, but it's going to be pretty tough. Because I don't believe God's Brother Robert's going to miss a thing. God's going to say, I'll just pick on Donnie. Donnie loves me. He won't get mad thing. Can you imagine, Donnell? Kenneth Donnell Lambert. Okay. Please come forth. And he's got to come up to the judgment seat of Christ. He's got to give an account. Every deed he's done in his body. Brian Wayne Ellison, now you know my middle name. Every deed, unto him or not unto him. In my body, in my service of my body, my flesh, in the spirit or in the carnality of my body, I'll have to give an account unto him for that. Can you imagine as he brings in whether we did it unto him or did not do it unto him? Every person, every situation, every opportunity, he's got a record of it. If he's God, he's got a record of it. If he's almighty and way more mighty than we are, he's got a better checkbook, better record book than you and I have. He'll have that account. So God help us to do it unto him. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 25 verse 45, he says, they shall answer and then he will answer back. And as much as ye did it not to the one of the least. Can you think about and meditate on that phrase as he mentioned the least of my brethren and then here the least. Many times we overlook the least.
You're right.
Those are the ones we step over. We step around.
God help us.
We want to look for Facebook notoriety. You know, we want popularity. We want attention. Right? You know, I've seen some funny memes on Facebook. I pick on Facebook sometimes. I try to stay off of it. It's stressful to me. But I do read some things on it. And I know we promote things and we have connections to the church page. But it was kind of a satire. It's making fun. But it showed Jesus dying on the cross and all these people taking a selfie standing here while he's on the cross. Isn't that, doesn't that kind of speak of how the world is today? If it was the world today, say, oh man, Jesus died on the cross. I was at Calvary and took a picture with Jesus dying for me. He said, that's weird. Yeah, it is. But that's the way it's the way the world does. You and I would be like, I think I'll put my cell phone down and I think I'll bow down here at the foot of this cross. We need the Spirit of God to move us, to compel us, to understand how important it is to keep His commandments and be the light and bear the fruit. Look at Luke 10 with me. Now, this is the story of the Good Samaritan, as we call it. The Samaritans, to give you a little background, they were half-breed race. They were half Jew and half Gentile. Now, that might not have maybe necessarily looked so much different on the outside, but in the culture, the Jews did not deal anything at all with those Samaritans.
Right.
They were half-breed in their race. They also did not follow the Word of God. They didn't worship at the same location. There was just a lot of divisions. And those Jews, even the disciples that followed Jesus, were racist, and they were bigoted towards those Samaritans. And many people would not even go through that area. And many times Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. I'm going through Samaria. He sat down at the well. He sat down at the well waiting on that Samaritan woman. On purpose. Waiting for her, amen, to give her living water. So this is a story where Jesus highlights the Samaritan having been more spiritual than other religious people. Now, of course, this would make religious people mad, and it did, amen. But let's be less religious and more relationship driven, amen.
Yeah.
Listen to this, verse 30. A certain man, Luke 10:30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which means the thieves jumped on him. There was that territory, that highway. They would hide in the rocks behind the highway there. And the highway's not like 85. It's just a very well path, traveled path. But there were areas you could hide and jump on somebody and then go back, hide or run. And they left this man in a bad shape. The Bible says he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, this raiment being stolen, Brother Jeremy, could mean not just what was on his back, but everything in his bags, his packages, his backpack. They took everything that he had. So they left him in pretty bad shape, and they're leaving him half dead rather than half alive, which means he was probably looked more dead, probably felt more like he was dying than he did living. And they probably thought he was dead or would die, and not have to worry about ever dealing with him again. And the Bible says, by chance there came down certain priests. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to point this out. Whatever we get, we don't get, is fine with me. The priest and the Levite here represent the priesthood, and the Levitical priesthood represents the tribe of Levi and the people that were nurtured, and they were groomed for temple work.
Amen.
Religious work. There should never be, by chance, anything that we do as born-again believers. We should ask and seek to be in God's will and Him to guide our pathways every day of our life. There is no luck with God's people.
Right.
You say, well, when I gamble, there's luck. Well, there you go. Don't scratch and sniff. Amen. Seek and search. There is no chance. There is no chance. God's not up there rolling dice and saying, I'm going to go lucky seven. Oh, watch Brian. He's getting ready to have a blessing. That's not how it works. I feel like sometimes the devil rolls snake eyes and here it comes, but that's not how it works. Nothing should be by chance. I've had some days, I'm sure some of you have as well, where you had it all planned out and figured out, and then it fell all to pieces. And you're halfway through, and go, my soul, I just would have not even got in. I would have never even woke up.
Yeah.
Let's just skip. Go to the 27, 28. Let's just skip it. But if we believe God is on the throne and He ordains and He guides our steps and He puts things in our pathway, there is a purpose for everything. And there's no reason that there should be by chance that a priest is doing anything.
Right.
But they sure emphasize that by chance. And he came down that way, and when he saw him, listen, church, if you see a need, you're accountable.
Yes, sir.
You're accountable. Amen. This priest was accountable as soon as he saw the need. He said, well, I don't see every need. Then you're not accountable. If God shows you some of our widow ladies or single people in our church have bald tires, you're accountable. Yeah. If you never notice stuff like that, you're not accountable. I notice stuff like that.
Yeah.
I try to help when I can. I try to do things like that. But he saw some things. He saw when he was on that way. And you know what he did? He passed by on the other side. You know what he did? He did not do it unto him.
You're right.
He didn't.
You're right.
How many times have we passed by on the other side? God, well, this is convicting. I have seen some things going on. I was like, I just don't have time for that. I don't know. Listen, you can judge me if you want to. Some of you are guilty with me.
Amen.
Just get on the wagon. I have seen things. I said, this guy's getting ready. I can't talk to him. And I'm like this. Lord have mercy. I need to crawl back home. Amen. Guilt. I have just went on the other side. So I was like, I'm too busy. Nothing by chance. Even when I go on the other side, it's on purpose. And whether I desire God's purpose or my purpose, there is no chance. And he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. A Levite, part of the priesthood. Might not have been a priest. Okay, all the Levites were not necessarily serving in the priesthood. Some of them did other things in the temple. Some of them had other duties. Maybe this is kind of applying to us that maybe this is not to the preacher. Maybe this is not to the Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's not to the deacon. But maybe it's to the other laborers in the church who are part of the known family of God, are part of what we would consider religious, those who should know how to do it right, should know better. You would think in this story that the priest would have said, oh my goodness, this guy's in a mess. We need to get some help. He decided, I guess he's going to die anyway. I ain't got time for this. That's convicting, church.
Yes, sir.
Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. This is even deeper. This is even more accountable. I mean, he stood there and looked at him. Brother Jason, he saw him breathing. He's still not dead.
Wow.
He saw the blood. He saw the bruises, the beating. He saw probably wasn't what wasn't there. Very obvious the man was robbed and left with nothing. And he looked on him, and when he saw him, he looked on him, and you know what he did? Passed by on the other side. Can you imagine standing before God, Brother Jim, with that one? Can you imagine? It'd be said, Donnie will be the priest. He comes before me. I'm picking on him good tonight. I don't know what it is. Just feeling it. But I threw myself under the bus too, so that's okay. He gets it for seeing it and going by the other side. Then they call me up, the Levite, Mr. Brian Ellison. Well, this ain't going to be good. And then he brings out, watch this video. Look at this replay. Look at this record. You stood there and looked. And you made a very powerful decision of your will, your volition, and you said, nope. He took more time to see what was wrong, and he still passed by on the other side. Double accountable. You know, I've been studying on a passage of Scripture in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, I think it's verse 11. 2 Peter, but anyhow, it says, so an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. And I've been dwelling and meditating on that a lot. Might preach it if I preach part of Preacher Gravely's funeral. Just been on my heart a lot. Wake up a lot of mornings with it. I believe there's some people going to enter heaven with a whole lot more rejoicing and glory going on than others.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you get in by the skin of your teeth, but there's going to be some people going to heaven and they're not going to have any crowns. They're not going to have any rewards. They're not going to have any treasures they've laid up for God. There's going to be little, very little glory they ever gave Him by letting their light shine. That's going to be sad, church, and it shouldn't be that way. You should discern in your heart tonight. You're on purpose going to say, I'm not living by chance. And I'm not going to live by purpose and go around everything and just look at what God's put into my life. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to act with compassion. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to desire and design my life and dedicate my life to do good works for His glory.
Amen.
And the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan. Now you can imagine if you were a religious person, you were in the crowd, you were a priest, or your grandpa was a priest, and somebody in your family was a Levite. There were some Sadducees and Pharisees, and there's all these religious people. And Jesus just told this story and threw you under the bus. And then He brings up the race card and says, now a Samaritan comes along. The half-breed people who don't believe the same way you believe, here He comes, and you know what He does? The Bible says when He saw Him, He was journeying, the Bible says, and when He saw Him, He did not pass on the other side. He had compassion on Him. You can't have compassion for somebody and it not affect somebody.
Amen.
It goes on them. Because compassion, you can't have compassion. Even if you send a compassionate card or call a passionate phone call or a text, love, encouragement, whatever it is, because you do it unto God, it still works on people. You can just send a text and say, man, I've been praying for you, man. I've been missing you at church, or I know you're going through a tough time. I just want you to know I'm praying for you, man. If you need something, I might not have but two nickels to rub together, but I sure can pray for you, or you can come eat a bologna sandwich at my house, but I'm praying for you. And having that compassion may make so much difference in this world because they don't ever get treated with compassion. And after being beaten by thieves, and I don't know if he opened one eye, Brother Jeremy, and looked up there and says, there's a priest. Praise God. He'll surely help me. Where is he going?
Wow.
Well, praise the Lord. Here comes a Levite. He's still looking. Help. He walks away. And the Samaritan comes. Oh, I don't want this person. He's a different race than me. Oh, when you're being beat up and broke down and you're about to die, you don't care about those kind of things. You be reminded that you are dead in trespasses and sin, and God raised you up in newness of life, and what for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I would all be in hell. We wouldn't worry about those things either.
That's right.
The Bible says here, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds. Well, preacher, it's obvious he was a nurse or a doctor, so I'm out. I don't believe that he was. I believe he just was a compassionate person. Now I know, first aid kit, whatever that would have been. Let me rip some of my clothes off here, rip some of this or whatever. I got a little bit of water left. Let me give him that. Well, I got a long way to go. I better save some of that water. Now let's just pour everything we got on this person right here. And believe God can give you some more water so you can go on your journey. And if He can't supply you on your journey while you're pouring compassion on other people, then maybe we're done with our journey and we just need to go on to heaven.
Amen.
Because God can take care of us and provide for us. But if all we do is bottle up and store up and never have compassion pouring out on people, then what good really are we?
Amen. You're right.
He bound up his wounds and he poured in some oil. Oil and wine, type of medicinal things and joy, but they're also a type here, a small type, that he didn't just pour on a little water. He poured on some things that would have healing and some things that cost him that were very important to him as well. Sometimes we want to just use the cheapest approach. If we ever get guilted by the preacher to do something, we want to do the least we can do. Right?
Right.
He's like, I'll sweep it, preacher, but I'm going to sweep it under the rug. I'll do it, preacher. Here's a band. I got an old nasty 25-year-old Band-Aid in my wallet. Let me see that. That looks pretty bad. Good luck with that. Yeah, here's a dollar. I got you a dollar. Oil and wine represent costing us and us pouring ourselves into people. I believe he that winneth souls, the Bible says here, is wise. It says first the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Amen.
And he that winneth souls is wise. Our fruit proves, our pouring out into other people proves, our compassion proves that we care, our sacrifice into other people that care. And here the Bible says, and he set him on his own beast, which means I'm walking.
Right.
How many people would let somebody borrow their car and walk? Amen. Not too many I know.
Preach on.
I've never done it. Let you borrow it, me walk? You're like, I don't know about that one. I've had people let me borrow their vehicles. I don't know that they were walking. I hope they weren't, because I would have really felt bad. But they let me borrow their vehicle. I'll let people borrow some of my vehicles before if I had something extra. Or I'm going to stay home this day. Or we're going to juggle our schedule and let Joanna take my vehicle and I'll be stranded and let them borrow it. I've done that before. That's compassion and care and concern, trying to help. You can't always do that, but boy, what a challenge here in the scriptures that he put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Wow. Just took care of him. What does that mean? What does that involve? You tell me. I need help. I need somebody to take care of me. Give him a little water. Give him a little food. Give him some time to rest. Change his bandages. Give him a little water. Give him a little food. Give him time to rest. Change his bandages. Take care of him. And the Bible said, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. He passed the torch. But he paid for the torch that he passed. Wow. Before you pass the torch, make sure you pay for the torch. You can say, can you help doing so-and-so? I've been helping this guy out. He's getting on my nerves. I didn't mean to say that. I got something else going on. I got more important things to do. I got a meeting with the priest and the Levite. We're getting ready to start a ministry. I'm going to get banned on some preaching networks here probably. I need to pay for somebody else to do it. But he didn't do it that way, because the Bible said he took care of him and he paid for someone else. And he also not only poured out there, but he gave a promise of those precious things that he poured into him. He paid some money. And he said, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'm coming back to check on this guy, I will repay thee. Wow. That's some pretty in-depth compassion. That's compassionate Christian or godly living. Now here's Jesus. He lowers the boom on this audience. It's an Olivet Discourse. I can imagine he's got some people. He's talking about my Levite cousin, my priest uncle, or he's talking about me.
Yeah.
And he says, now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one was a neighbor? Which one was a good Samaritan? Which one showed mercy? Which one took time to care? Well, I think we all know the answer to that one.
Right.
The scriptures say again, Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and that they that turn many to righteous as the stars forever and ever. The fruit of the righteous, Proverbs 11:30, is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. I believe this man was working to win this man's soul.
Right.
Win this person. You think that you could do this, and if this man ever had a way, an acknowledgement to know this Samaritan, that there would not have been a relationship there? I know I'm inferring and implying some things, but listen, you've all been on the other end of people who have poured themselves into you. They have helped you. They've loved you. They've talked to you. They have shined as righteousness, especially when you were in darkness. And they won you to the Lord. They brought you. They drew you in. And they invested and poured into your life. and you can think about that. Those kind of people are going to have relationships with each other.
You're right.
There's going to be a closeness there. Imagine seeing a guy and saying, oh, there he is. I'm going to pass on the other side. No, you don't want to go see him. Say, what's up, man? Good to see you. You're looking almost half alive. Y'all didn't catch that one, I don't guess. Some of y'all are half dead yourself now. I'm going to wore you out pretty good. Righteous believers follow Christ's commands.
Amen.
They take his stories, his parables, and they say, that's not a waste of time. That is something I need to put some time into to find out, what does it mean for me? How am I supposed to apply that? And he says, he teaches us, he let your light so shine. Now listen to this. Matthew 5:45 talks about, it said that you may be the children of your Father.
Right.
When you live like this, you declare that you are a child of God, that the Lord is your Father. Amen? So be that child of the Father. Let your light so shine, as the scripture says, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What if there was a bystander to watch and said, priest, Levi, I want nothing to do with that religious crowd.
Right.
I hate him. I was talking to a man, well, the other day in the hospital, he brought up a religious experience that he had with some people that threw him out. Yep. Threw him to the side. You know what happens? All religion is hated. All religion has hurt him. Everything then becomes a wall to him.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to break through that again.
Yeah.
So let's not be that, amen. Let's not allow that. Let's let somebody see, say, the Samaritan comes by and they watch him. What is he getting ready to do? And he starts pulling out the oil. I mean, he's pouring oil. He's using olive oil. I mean, that's expensive stuff.
Right.
He's pouring oil and whopping, put a little bit of wine in there, a little bit of medicinal purposes there, amen. A little bit of, kill me some bacteria, amen. And he wraps him up, and then he picks him up, and he puts him on his own beast. What if somebody saw that good works? What kind of man is that? Who is that? Oh, that's one of them half-breed Samaritans. I want to be one of them. I want to be like that Samaritan. God, help me to distance myself from that kind of religious priest in Levi. Let me be like that Samaritan whom my Lord and Jesus Christ, he highlighted that Samaritan in this story. And he says, you look at these three, and which one would you say is a neighbor? And he tells us those two great commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a command of Christ. To let your light so shine. Matthew 4:19. I'm hurrying up. I'm trying to hurry. Matthew 4:19, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. As we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it will affect how we fish.
Yes, it will.
And fishing for men is different than fishing for fish.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can just get a net and scoop up some dead fish. And you can put something on a hook maybe and something shiny. But fishing for men is different. That Samaritan's fishing. He might have caught somebody who was watching from the outside. He might have influenced an innkeeper.
Right. Come on.
Can you imagine the influence there? You're just working under God, just doing it for God, not trying to impress the innkeeper, not trying to get a book deal, not trying to get on TV.
Right.
You're just trying to live for God, doing what is right, what you know is right, biblically, godly, right. And there's innkeepers watching. There's other people in other rooms in the inn watching. So what's going on over there? Oh, he found him on the side of the road. Brought him in here. Why are you leaving for you? He didn't. He gave me money to help take him. He's coming back tomorrow. Hey, look, Samaritan people are crazy. I ain't never heard nothing like that. Men have to be won. Men have to be drawn. Men have to learn to trust. They need to see Christ at work in our lives. And that work is at the hands and the feet of his followers, his disciples.
Right.
You're going to have to get your hands dirty to win people.
Amen. Yes, you are.
You're going to have to get involved in their life. I know there's a lot of different versions of how to reach out and visit and help people, but there's not a lot of people really taking time to really do this kind of stuff.
Right.
It's just a lot of time it's about, we visited several thousand people. Well, how many did you win? How many actions of a Samaritan did you get? That takes a little bit more time, doesn't it? We've been out visiting before, and I felt like I didn't get nothing done, but it was these people, you talk to somebody, and sometimes you'll get somebody who will open up to you, and they start pouring out their heart, and you find out how much trouble, how many problems that they're going through, how really messed up their life is. They don't need somebody to walk on the other side. They need somebody to get some oil out. I know some a little something about oil. You know the Bible says the Holy Spirit's a type of oil?
Yes, amen.
I can help a few people with that, amen. I can tell them where to find that. Well, anyhow, I got to unplug here. Good works, good walk are important in our fishing. The fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. It's good to have an interest in heaven, but you've got to have some influence on this earth.
That's right.
You do. Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. If people you work with don't know, then you need to find out why you don't have that fruit.
Right.
Either you're not saved or you're not right. You're not close like you need to be. And I'm not saying you got to show some grandioso giant. You know, I'm not talking about watermelon. It could just be a little grape. Amen. Just a little grape. Amen. Okay, I like it. Blueberry. Let's go blueberry. That's even smaller. Amen. No raspberries. No, none of those. Just a little bit of fruit. And that righteous practicing, devotion in your life, and performing the duties that Christ taught us to live like. Now, some people think all his parables were just stories he made up. I personally believe, even though, you know, some of them are hard to grab a hold of, I think a lot of them were the people involved in them. I think there's some type of truth there.
Yes.
I don't know if he saw it. I mean, obviously he sees everything.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of parables. I believe this was real.
Yeah.
He didn't give names, but he didn't have to give a name to me. I'll tell you this, it's real in my heart. That's all that really matters.
Right.
And be more powerful in our winning of a soul and winning of that person. We learn how to walk for God the right way, try to earn their trust, their care. But if we don't show how much we care, they'll never know how much we care. You've got to have that compassion. And if we do that, the Bible says it glorifies our Father, which is in heaven. We're going to have our eyes closed and bowed here for a minute. Just want you to do some spiritual inventory. We don't have anybody to play right now. Unless Ethan wanted to play something slow and soft for us. You want to play this little something for us? He knows how to play some different things. Just something for invitation. Don't have to be anything that we sing. We're just going to pray and think. And as much as you've done it on the least of these, you did it unto me. How many times did we walk on the other side? How many times did we look on the problem, the person, the need, and just walk on the other side? This Samaritan, he took time, he got involved. And I believe that he truly let his light shine. That was a great example here of what it really means to be a neighbor and love your neighbor. And Jesus said as we began this series, this thought, in John chapter number 14-15 there, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them. Keep them dear to you. Practice them. Put them to use in your life. You may not see a homeless person every time you go everywhere. It may not be to that extreme. You might not see somebody beat up laying down on the side of the road. It might not be that extreme in your life. But you know in your heart, God has put people and situations in your pathway. He does it often, way more often. And we cross over to the other side, Brother Jeremy. We walk away. Or we look at it and decide to walk away. Live our life like it's by chance when God wants it to be by purpose. God saved us and called us with a holy calling. And He wants you and I to live for Him and serve Him and follow in His steps. And that Samaritan was more like our Savior Jesus Christ than the priest that burnt the ram and put it on the brazen altar and sprinkled the blood on the floor in the temple. That Samaritan was more like my Savior than that Levite that delivered materials to the temple. That Samaritan was more like my Savior. And I hate to say it, but not a lot like me. I want to be like my Savior. I want to be like that Samaritan. Brother Carl, I want my light to make a difference. I don't want to just shine and it's like, you know, I get to thinking about my pastor lately. When he leaves this world, he's going to leave such a hole. There's so many people have been influenced by him. And I got to thinking, I wonder how many people I've really influenced. That I've really won, that I've made it. I feel like some people I've been trying to win for 40, 50 years of my life. I want to be a difference. I want to be that salt when they come in contact with me, that salt interaction with me makes them thirsty for God. I want to be that light where they can say, man, I need to talk to somebody that knows something about something biblical or God. I'm so tired of doing this my way. Is there any light out there? Is there a lighthouse anywhere out there? Is there any light? Maybe they'd see you. Maybe they'd see me. Jesus said he was the light of the world, and then later on he said, ye are the light of the world. Obviously, he knew that he would be leaving, and he would leave his spirit and his believers and followers. And it would be our duty, Brother Robert, at that point, to be the light in this world. Listen, I know some of you might get weary and well-doing. You're trying to live for God around some of your family, and it's not easy. Don't quit. Just keep on doing it unto God. And when God puts things in your life that sometimes may slow you down or they disturb your day or bother you, just believe somehow, listen, my life's not by chance. This thing didn't happen by chance. God allowed the broke down vehicle. He allowed the delay in my life. I'm going to be late there, but I'm going to be on time somewhere else if I'll just look for an opportunity to be that light, to have that compassion. There'll be a place, a road. There'll be someone that's been beat up by this world that you may have a chance to have compassion on. Let your light shine in their lives. Church, if we're not doing that, we're not being like Him. And we're not doing it unto Him. And we're being more like a lost person, acting more like the lost than we are like the light of the world. May God challenge us, if we really love Him, to keep His commandments. Father, thank You for Your scripture, Your word, the challenge within it. God, I pray You'll help us, Lord, as things come into our pathway this very week, that we'll be looking for ways, God, not to walk on the other side, but God, to try to pour ourselves into people, try to be a light, be the righteous tree of life, try to win the soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.